Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for May 1st, 2012. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and in this show I'll be talking to Hiroshi Suga, author of a research article published in the current issue of Science Signaling on the evolution of tyrosine kinases in multicellular animals. One of the most important milestones in evolutionary history was the transition from a unicellular existence to a multicellular existence. Multicellularity has appeared independently several times throughout evolutionary history, for example, in the plant, fungal, and animal lineages. And some species that are unicellular today, like yeasts, evolved from multicellular ancestors that reestablished a unicellular lifestyle. Multicellularity offers many advantages for an organism, including the opportunity for cells to specialize. In unicellular species, the cell must be an extreme multitasker. It has to do everything that the species needs in order to survive, like acquire or produce food, defend itself, and reproduce. In multicellular organisms, cells can specialize so that each cell type focuses on one or just a few primary functions, like producing gametes, defending the organism from invaders, or getting rid of waste and toxins. In order for cells to cooperate in a multicellular context, they have to be able to physically stick together and to communicate with one another to coordinate their activities, and they also have to be able to differentiate into the different specialized cell types. Previous studies have shown that cell adhesion molecules existed in the coanoflagellates, which are single-celled eukaryotes that have the ability to form colonies, and that these adhesion molecules multiplied and diversified with the advent of multicellularity. In a new study published in this issue of Science Signaling, Hiroshi Suga and colleagues have investigated the evolution of protein tyrosine kinases in the context of the development of multicellularity in the metazoan or animal lineage. Tyrosine kinases are important mediators of cell-cell communication, adhesion, and cell specialization. In this study, they compared the tyrosine kinases of Filasterians, which are unicellular protists that are closely related to the clade that includes the metazoans and the coanoflagellates. Suga spoke to me from the University of Barcelona and the Institute of Evolutionary Biology at Barcelona to explain their findings. Welcome, Dr. Suga.
Nice to hear you.
Why are tyrosine kinases so important to cell biology in general and to multicellular animals in particular?
Well, because they are involved in communication between cells. In multicellular animals, the behavior of the cells has to be controlled and coordinated. To do so, cells have to communicate with each other to know in what context they are living and to decide which reaction they should take in that context. Why this is so important for multicellular animals becomes more clear when you think about this question from evolutionary point of view. Imagine if you are a unicellular organism and you want to develop a sophisticated multicellular system. What would you need? The first thing that would come to your mind is probably adhesive molecules, which is glues that physically put the cells together. But obviously, it's not enough. You need to differentiate the cells and distribute the labels to these specialized cells and coordinate the behaviors. Otherwise, you are just a cell aggregation. Tyrosine kinases are known to be deeply involved in cell differentiation, proliferation, and communication in multicellular animals.
Tyrosine kinases can be divided into two broad categories, the cytoplasmic tyrosine kinases and membrane-localized tyrosine kinases.
Right.
What are the functional differences between these two types of kinases, and how is each used in the cell?
So receptor tyrosine kinases directly receive signals from outside the cells and start a signal pathway by themselves, whereas cytoplasmic tyrosine kinases relay the signals that is started by others. In animals, receptor tyrosine kinases catch ligands that are released in the space between cells, so it's outside the cell. The part of the protein that actually receives the ligand is its first half, therefore it's sticking out from the cells. Then usually the kinase domain, which is always inside the cells, start our signal cascade, which is called tyrosine kinase signaling cascade. After the receptor tyrosine kinases start the cascade, it is then mediated by other proteins which principally relay the phosphate groups to the next one in the cascade. cytoplasmic tyrosine kinases are involved in these relaying processes, and that most of them have also phosphorylated tyrosine binding domains besides the kinase domains. And one of the most important features of receptor tyrosine kinases is in their receptor segment, which is a domain that directly interacts with ligand molecules. They are usually large and show a huge repertoire of structures, and this structure diversity is generally considered to reflect the diversity of ligand molecules, and thus the complex communication between cells in animals.
So given the fact that it's the receptor tyrosine kinases that are receiving signals from the environment, one would predict then that it's the receptor tyrosine kinases that would show more amplification and diversification in multicellular animals compared to the animals that live a unicellular existence.
In fact, what we found in our organism is contradictory. It's not the case, in fact. Surprisingly, we found as many as 92 receptor tyrosine kinases in Capsospora. This number is almost as twice as that of human and four times as that of fruit fly. Not only the number, but the domain architecture of receptor segment is also very divergent. This receptor segment is used to catch the ligand molecules, so it seems that the signals that are mediated by these Capsospora receptors are also very complex. However, when we compare the sequences of these Capsospora receptor tyrosine kinases in detail, we realize that none of them look like those from animals. There are nothing common between these two repertoires of Capsospora and animals. They seem to have diverged independently from each other, one in the Capsospora lineage and the other in the animal lineage.
The Felisterians have a lot of these receptor tyrosine kinases, which was sort of surprising since they exist as single cells.
Mm-hmm.
What do they use these receptor tyrosine kinases for if they're not communicating with one another?
Well, we don't know anything about the function of these Capsospora receptors. Our hypothesis is that they may be receiving the environmental signals like food, water condition, and maybe pathogens. This hypothesis may explain why the receptor kinases of these single-cell protists are so divergent and independently diverged, because they need to be adapted to their own environment. We postulate that at the shift to multicellular animals, their ancestor co-opted, or recruited if you like, these receptors for communication between cells instead of sensing the environment. This might have made the repertoire of receptor tyrosine kinases relatively stable within the course of animal evolution.
And what about the cytoplasmic tyrosine kinases? What did you find when you looked at the phylogeny of the cytoplasmic tyrosine kinases when you compared the unicellular protists with multicellular animals?
In fact, they showed a totally different pattern of diversification from the receptor types, which was also surprising for us. Most of the cytoplasmic tyrosine kinases that we found in Capsospora are also found in animals, not like receptor types. Their repertoire are mostly common between Capsospora and animals, and we think this suggests that the process of relaying the tyrosine kinase signaling within the cell had been already established at the latest in the common ancestor of Felisterians and animals, and did not change so radically at the transition from unicellular to multicellular. And we also checked another Felisterian, Ministeria vibrans, and observed principally the same pattern as Capsospora. Not only Felisterians, but also in guanofragilate lineages, which is the closest relative to animals, we also observed the similar pattern of tyrosine kinase diversification.
In the study, you were looking at protein tyrosine kinases. Are protein tyrosine kinases exclusive to the metazoan lineage, or are they also present in bacteria and fungi and plants?
Well, that's a good question. The protein tyrosine kinases are thought to be metazoan-specific, animal-specific before, because it exerts very metazoan-specific functions. But a couple of years ago, there was a paper describing about the tyrosine kinases of guanofragilate, And then it's clear that it's not metazoan exclusive. And now we are showing that it's even more ancient origin. But what was surprising for us was we cannot find any tyrosine kinase in fungi and neither in plants. So even though the origin of tyrosine kinases are old, there are some patchy distribution of tyrosine kinases in the life tree.
Do you think that fungi never had them, or do you think that they existed in the fungal lineage and they were lost?
Exactly. We think that they had it, but they have lost it in the course of evolution.
Not focusing specifically on tyrosine kinases, but just thinking generally about protein kinases, is it known how important protein kinase evolution has been in the evolution of multicellularity in other lineages, for example, in the development of multicellularity in the fungal lineage or in plants?
Yeah, that's a very important question, but we have to say that a role of protein kinases, I mean here the protein kinases excluding the tyrosine kinases in other multicellular systems that are not animals, are largely unknown. But one of the most important difference between tyrosine kinases and other protein kinases, which are mostly serine-threonine-specific kinases, is that vast majority of serine-threonine kinases are cytoplasmic type, whereas many tyrosine kinases are of receptor types. There are some serine-threonine kinases which show very interesting diversification pattern and function in terms of evolution of multicellularity outside animals. For example, the plant receptor-like kinases are one of the largest family in the kingdom plant. For example, they contain over 600 genes in Arabidopsis, which is a higher plant model. They are mostly receptors and have a considerable amount of diversity in the receptor segment. Their functions are largely unknown, but some of them are known to be involved in plant hormone signaling, defense against pathogens, developmental control, for instance, leaf development, and the control of host symbionts interactions. In a word, they are involved in receiving signals which could be both from itself and from others, from outside. So it's a mixture of functions in multicellular context and unicellular context. And interestingly, some of the families of these plant receptor kinases are old, dating back to their unicellular ancestors. So there are some similarities between the plant receptor-like kinases and tyrosine kinases in animals in their divergence pattern and the involvement in the evolution of multicellularity. This is obviously an evolutionary convergence, but we consider it very interesting because recruiting molecules into a totally different context and assigning them completely new jobs might represent the general pattern of evolutionary mechanisms.
Thank you, Dr. Suga, for talking with me.
Sure, my pleasure.
That was Hiroshi Suga, first author of an article published in the current issue of Science Signaling. That paper is titled Genomic Survey of Pre-Metazoans Shows Deep Conservation of Cytoplasmic Tyrosine Kinases and Multiple Radiations of Receptor Kinases. And that wraps up the Science Signaling Podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions, please write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. This show is a production of Science Signaling and of AAAS, Advancing Science, Serving Society. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and its publisher, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, thanks for listening.